You know, the Bible is God's written revelation to us. In fact, God has made himself known. In fact, he's made himself known in a number of ways. I want you to think about it. First of all, he's made himself known through the creation, through the world. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says that from the creation, you can clearly see the eternal Godhead and power of God so that people are without excuse. So from this creation, that we know that there is a God. He's revealed himself. He's also revealed himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word who became flesh. John 1:14, he came to the earth and dwelt among us. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Then God has also revealed himself through the Bible, through the written revelation, through what we call the Scriptures, the Bible. This is God's book to us. And when we think about the Bible, it's so special. We think about it and this is one book. But actually, it's 66 books. There are 66 different books that make up the Bible. Over 40 authors. Over 1,500 years in being put together. If someone were to ask you, if they said, listen, you're a Christian and I've never really studied the Bible or anything and I know you are a Christian, what exactly is the message of this book? You could say, well, there's 66 different books in there, and they're sort of different. But in reality, there is a message that goes all the way through the Word of God. And that is simply put this, that God brings man to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the story of the Bible. Think about it. Here's the perfect righteous God bringing sinful man back to himself using his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Savior and the Messiah. That's the story of the Bible. In fact, the key message of the Bible is reconciliation. The story of the Bible is how God reconciles man to himself. And this morning, as we look at this one verse, verse 18, we're going to see the story of the Bible in this one little verse. God brings man to himself through his Son. Look what the verse says. It says, for Christ, this is 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God. That's the story of the Bible. Peter writes to some believers who are suffering, and he reminds them of the suffering of Christ, how Christ, who died for sin, just for unjust, to bring us to God. There's so much in this one little verse. As we begin this morning, let's remember where we are in the letter. Of course, Peter is writing to encourage believers, exhorts them to live differently than the rest of the world. We'll go all the way back to chapter 2, verse 12, where he calls believers aliens and strangers. He says, our citizenship is in heaven, not here, and we're strangers. We're just passing through. It's temporary. And so he says, as those whose world is not this home, it's up in heaven, we need to live differently than the rest of the fallen world. And beginning in chapter 2, verse 12, all the way to where we are now, he continually has given some instructions. He talked about our relationship to the government. He even talked about slaves. He talked about wives. He talked about husbands. He kind of summarized it together. And then last week, we saw he dealt with the whole issue of suffering. He says, as a Christian, you're going to suffer. How do you deal with that? We've got to be different than the rest of the world. And now this morning, as he continues on, he looks at the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to remember, last time he talked about suffering, and he says this. He said, if you're going to suffer, make sure you suffer for doing what is right rather than doing what is wrong. In fact, look at 1 Peter 3, verse 17. This is where we ended last time. It says, for it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. And that is true. And the whole idea of suffering. You know, it's true that in our lives, in America, we almost can't identify with suffering for Jesus Christ. With standing for Jesus Christ in suffering. Now, when this was written to these people, when they stood for Christ, sometimes they were put to death. And they were suffering. And when he says, I know you're suffering, and then he goes on to talk about the suffering of Christ, they could identify with that. In our world, we may say to somebody, hey, I'm a Christian, and they go, well, that's so nice. But it's almost foreign to us, this suffering. But I'll tell you, it's going to come one day. Our country is moving further and further and further away from the basic truths and beliefs and moral values. And one day to stand for Christ may mean suffering even in this country. But what he does is he talks about suffering. He reminds them, if you're going to suffer, make sure you suffer for doing what's right rather than what's wrong. And then from that, he talks about Jesus. And he reminds them of the sufferings of Jesus Christ, how Jesus suffered and died for us. And this is the key of the Bible, that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins so that he might bring us to God. This is God's plan of reconciliation. And in this one verse, we are going to see six aspects of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Six things we're going to look at Even in this little verse, let me tell you, there was a man by the name of J.E. Ross, great Bible teacher. Here's what he said about this one verse. He said, although it is a very short verse and a very simple verse, yet it is one of the richest in giving the message of the cross. In fact, I think what it does is give us the message of the Bible. And as we look at this, we're going to see six different aspects concerning the sufferings of Christ. And I'm going to give them to you. In fact, I'll give them to you now. If you want to write them in your little blue thing, you can. We're going to go through them one at a time as we go through the verse. But let me give you six things that we will see as we look in this one verse dealing with the sufferings of Christ. The first thing is this, that we're going to see the sufferings of Christ involve death. Jesus Christ died. He was separated. He was separated from the Father. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven, came to this earth, and actually died physically and died to, and was separated from the Father. We're going to talk about that. We'll see that. The second thing is that He died for sin, but not our sins. Excuse me, not His sins, our sins. Not what He did, because He never did anything wrong. He died for our sins. And we're going to see in this passage substitution. He took our place. Then there's the third thing. We're going to see that His sufferings was complete. It is finished. Never to be done again. In fact, the passage says, once for all. There's a fourth thing we'll see, and that's that it was undeserved suffering. It says, the just for the unjust, the righteous one for the unrighteous ones. He was sinless. He didn't deserve to suffer, but He did. There's a fifth thing, and that's a purpose. There's a reason why He suffered, and that is to bring us to God. And finally, there's a sixth thing, and that was temporary. He suffered and died, but He rose again. So in this little verse, there are going to be six things that we'll look at as we go through in more detail. But we see that there's death, that He died for sins, that He died once for all, that it was undeserved, that it was to bring us to God, and that it was temporary. Now, we'll see that in one little verse as we go through it. But as we said a while ago, this, in a sense, is the nutshell, is the message of the entire Bible. Well, let's look at it. We'll start here at beginning of verse 18. 1 Peter 3, verse 18 says, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Now, he starts with four. For Christ. And for is a Greek word that really is an explanation. See, he's just talked to them about suffering and all of these things. And he says, for Christ suffered. And he's going to describe this suffering. And as we said a while ago, we're going to see six things dealing with the suffering of Jesus Christ. But notice how it starts. It says, for Christ also died. It says, for Christ. See, when we see Christ, we think of Jesus Christ, and it's almost as if we think His name, His first name is Jesus, and His last name is Christ. That's how we think about it, because we call Him Jesus Christ. But we realize that His name was Jesus, and He was from Nazareth. And the name Jesus means Savior. Jehovah is salvation. The name Christ is really a title. It means the anointed one of God. It's the same as the Old Testament name Messiah. Mashiach, Messiah in the Old Testament, Christos, Christ in the New Testament. It's a title, and He says, for the Christ also died, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So he starts off and he says, for Christ also died for sins. The first thing we want to remember, that was first of those six things, is that there was a death involved. He died. He died for sins, is how it literally says it. It says, for Christ also died for sins once for all. But we want to look at the fact that he died. He was separated from the Father. He came to this earth and he suffered and died for us on the cross. I want you to understand something. We can think about eternity. And we can think about the fact that we're going to live forever. We are. We're going to live forever. Now, some will live forever with Jesus Christ, and some people will live forever separated from Christ. But all human beings are going to live forever because Jesus conquered death. We can comprehend a little bit about the fact that we're just going to keep going on. But I find it very hard to comprehend something that didn't have a beginning, that has always existed. That's God. And do you realize that God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son have always been together for all eternity? And yet when He came to the earth and He took on flesh and He went to the cross, He died and death is separation. And for the first time in all eternity, He was separated from the Father. Remember what He said on the cross? My God, why have You forsaken Me? Separation. So when we look at this suffering of Jesus Christ, and the very first thing we see is that there is death involved. He died. He suffered. He was separated. Romans 5:8 says, God commended His own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is death. So the first thing that we see in this little verse is that Christ died. But notice it goes on. For Christ also died for sins. And that second thing is there's a death for sins. And as we said a while ago, sin was what caused His death, but it was not His sin. It was our sin. It's a substitution. See, the wages of sin is death, and Jesus Christ came and died, but He died for us. See, all of us have been involved in sports in some way in our life, and we may have been in a game, and somebody comes running in to take our place. They are our substitute. Well, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we owe God death. What did Jesus Christ do? He came and He took our place. We're sinful. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, as Romans 3:23 says. I want you to stop. Let's think for a second. Remember that question we asked a while ago? How are we sinners? Let's think about it, because there's all kind of writings, there's all kind of books, and there's all kind of psychologists and all kind of people trying to tell us that people are good. People are basically good. If you could just get people in the right situation and clean them up and get them a good environment and good people around them and all that, then people would be good. That's wrong. People are not good. We're sinful. Jeremiah says that the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? Well, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. There's none righteous, no, not one. We're not good. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are sinners. There is none righteous. You know, the Bible talks about it. We're sinners in at least three ways. I want you to think about it. The first one is what we call imputed sin. That means we have sin actually given to us from Adam. When Adam ate that fruit, when he sinned, God said that it passed to all people. And so in reality, if you opened up the record book, it would say, J.B. Bond ate fruit. I ate the fruit. You did too. It's imputed to your account. Romans 5:12 says, as by one man, Adam, death and sin passed to all men, for all sinned. When Adam sinned, we sinned. Imputed. We don't like it. We said, I didn't do wrong. Why did I get Adam's sin? That's the way God did it. Adam was the head of the human race. But that's not all. We're also sinners by what they call inheritance. We have a nature to sin. We come into this world with a capacity and a nature to do wrong. We don't have to teach people to do wrong. We have to teach people to do right. We did not teach our children to lie. They do it naturally. We do it naturally. We have to teach each other to do what's right. We come into this world with the natural bent to do wrong. The Bible calls it the flesh, calls it the old man. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We're spiritually dead. We have the natural capacity to do wrong. It's inherited. And then there's a third way that we sin, and that's personal sins. We choose to do wrong. And so we are sinners. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. So we must realize that when it says that Christ also died for sins, we're talking about our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God who made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. He died for our sins. There is this whole idea of substitution. See, not only did He die for us, but He died in our place. Isaiah 53 calls Him the Lamb of God, the suffering servant, the one who bore our iniquities, bore our sins in His body. 1 Peter 2:24 says, Jesus bore in His body our sins when He was on the cross. 1 John 4:9 and 10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but God loved us and sent His Son to be the payment for our sins. Over and over and over we see that He died for our sins as a substitute. See, many people misunderstand why Jesus Christ died. Some people think that Jesus died as a martyr. Some people think Jesus died as an example. Some people think Jesus died as a victim. No, He died as a substitute. A substitute for you and a substitute for me. So when we think about the suffering of Christ, first of all, it says, for Christ also died for sins. First of all, there's a death involved. He died and was separated from the Father. And then there are sins involved, and it's our sins. Substitution. There's a third thing. Look what it says. It says, for Christ also died for sins. Here's the third one. Once for all. Once for all time. Literally, the idea there is it's not going to be repeated. It's one time that He did all this. In fact, I want you to think about it. There are two different aspects in there. When it says once for all, the way it's written in the Greek, it means once for all people. Could refer to that. Once for all, that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He paid for all of the sins of all of the people of all time. 1 John 2:2 says, Jesus Christ is the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. And so when it says He died once for all, it's referring to everybody. He died for everybody. But the once for all, the way the Greek is written there, could also mean and has that idea of once for all time, never to be repeated. That when He died on the cross, there never has to be another sacrifice for sin. I want you to think back to the Old Testament. There would be the priest there, and the people would come, and they would bring animals, and they would have sinned, and they said, I need to make a sacrifice for my sins. And he would tell them to put their hands on top of that animal, and it would be identifying their sin to that animal. And that animal was really taking their place. And then they would kill the animal, so they wouldn't kill the people. They killed the animal, put it up on an altar, and their sins were covered. Their sins were not paid for. They were covered over and over and over again. They kept coming day after day, and the priest would stand there and say, next, and they would do it over and over and over. Hebrews 10:4 says the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. I want you to understand, the blood of an animal can't pay for a man's sin. God let it cover it, but it didn't pay for it. The only thing that can pay for a man's sin is the blood of a man. And the only man that can pay for man's sin is a perfect man, and there's only been one, Jesus Christ. That's why he died on the cross. And so it says, for Christ also died for sins once for all. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 says, when he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. I want you to realize this, that we talked about those priests a while ago, that they would stand out front and the people would bring them and they would take the animals, they'd kill them, and then when they get through, they would go wash their hands off in this laver and they would come back and they would say, who's next? And they did that over and over and over, because in the furniture of the temple out of the tabernacle, there was no chair to sit down, because they did their work day after day after day, because it never ended. But it says here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, it says, when Jesus offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down. It's finished. That's why it says Christ offered, also died for sins once for all, once for all time. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The book of Hebrews says he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's over. And so when we look at this verse, it says he died. His suffering. He was separated from the Father. He died for sins, our sins, as a substitute. He died once for all people, for all time. It is finished. Look at the fourth thing. For Christ also died for sins once for all. Notice, the just for the unjust. It was undeserved suffering. The righteous one died for the unrighteous ones. The perfect Son of God died for sinful man. The righteous one came and took the place of the unrighteous ones. See, we deserve to die because the wages of sin is death. We sinned. We owe God death. We're supposed to die. Jesus came and took our place. It was undeserved. We're the ones like sheep who had gone astray, and yet he knew no sin. He died in our place. There's something else, though, in this verse. It's the fifth thing. And that's the reason why he did it. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust. Why? In order that he might bring us to God. Incredible verse. We look at these things, and maybe you've read this verse so much, or maybe I've read this verse so much, that we take it for granted. But do you know it's saying that Christ died in your place, the righteous, perfect one for the sinful one, so that he could bring you to God and bring me to God. That's reconciliation. The word bring to God literally is a Greek word that had the idea of getting a mission to the king. It was like he said, I will take you right into God myself. And he is. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through him. That's the whole story of the Bible. Listen to this. This is Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. Listen. It says, he has now reconciled you through his fleshly body by death, in order that he would present you before God holy and blameless beyond reproach. See, he has reconciled us to God so he can present us to the Heavenly Father, to bring us to God. Wow. See, we moved away. He had to bring us back. Think about it. Why in the world does it say that he had to bring us to God? Because we moved away. I want you to think back. Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3, God put Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, look, of all the trees you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge and good of Eden, good and evil, do not eat it. And the day that you eat that, it literally says in the Hebrew, you're going to really die. Literally it says, die and you shall surely die. And the idea there is that you're going to die spiritually and then you're going to die physically. And there's no doubt about it. And what did they do? They ate the fruit. And what did they do? They ran and hid. We moved away from God. God came looking for them. just like God came looking for each of you. Because all we like sheep had gone astray, each one our own way. And God in His love and His mercy and His grace so loved us that He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for us, and He brought us to Himself. See, Christ died for sins once for all. The just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. I want you to see this, and this is so beautiful. Hold your place in 1 Peter 3 and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll go through this very quickly, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we see the key passage in the New Testament on this reconciliation that we're talking about. How that God has brought us back to Himself. I want you to see this. We'll go through the verses very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Look what it says. I hope you found it now. If you got Romans, just go back toward the Bible. It's Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And if you get past that, you got to Galatians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he says this. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. He says, listen, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone has put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, they're a new creature. They've been changed from the inside out. They're born again, as the Bible says in other places. He says, the old things are passed away, that old life, so to speak. New things have come, and all these things are from God. Now, look what he says in verse 18. God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Christ. Now, notice it says, God reconciled us to Himself. Not Himself to us, but us to Himself, because He didn't move, we moved. So He brings us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and notice, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That means we get to tell people, we have the ministry to go out and to tell people how God brings people back to Himself. It's called the ministry of reconciliation. He goes on to explain it in verse 19. He says, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Notice what he says. Namely, God was using Jesus, bringing the world to Himself, reconciling us back to Himself. Notice, not counting their trespasses against them. Now listen carefully. Because we could look at that and say, oh, he didn't count them. JB sinned, but I'm going to overlook them. No, he can't overlook them. Because God is God, and He's perfect and righteous and just. When it says not counting our sins against us, it didn't mean He overlooked them. It means He put them on Christ. He didn't count them on us, He counted them on Christ. That's why He bore in His body our sins. That's why in that passage in 1 Peter it says Christ died for sins, our sins. He didn't count them on us. He counted them on Christ. And look what it goes on to say. And He has committed to us, deposited to us, the word of reconciliation. We get to tell people. Notice verse 20. Therefore, here's the summary. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were entreating. Listen, we got the ministry of reconciliation. We get to go out as ambassadors for Christ and tell people how God reconciles the world back to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. Back to 1 Peter chapter 3. This verse basically says that. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust. Why? In order that He might bring us to God, the whole reconciliation through Jesus. There's so much so far in this verse. He died, separated from the Father, for our sins as a substitute. Once for all, it is finished. It was undeserved, the just for the unjust. The whole purpose was to bring us to God, and there's one final thing, and that's that it was all temporary. He suffered, but He got the victory. He suffered and died, and then He rose again. Look what it says. It says, having been put to death in the flesh, that's His death, but made alive in the Spirit, that's His resurrection. Having been put to death in the flesh and made alive in the Spirit. Verse 18 puts all the emphasis on the death. He says He died for sins once for all. He was put to death in the flesh. It's all the way down to verse 21 before He really highlights the resurrection. That's at the end of verse 21. It says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, His suffering was temporary. It was only a while. He died and then He rose again. And when it says He suffered in the flesh or that He was put to death in the flesh, that refers to a violent death. He died physically. Jesus Christ became a person, and we know the story. He went to the cross. They beat Him. He died physically. But it says he was made alive in the Spirit. It's talking about the spiritual body that he had, the resurrection body. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 44, don't turn there, but it says there is a physical body, there's a spiritual body. The physical body is referring to this old earthly body, but the spiritual body is referring to what we call the heavenly body or the resurrected body. Jesus was put to death, and then he rose again. And that's the gospel message. That's the good news message that we tell people. Remember 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4? Paul says, I delivered unto you of first importance, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day. The death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This verse is powerful, even though it's a short little verse. And by the way, you can use this. Just think, right now, you've got a message that you could teach to anybody. 6 points. A 6-point message. For Christ died for sin once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. He died, separated from the Father. For our sins, substitute. Once for all, it is finished. Just for the unjust, it was undeserved. The purpose, that he might bring us to God, and it was temporary, because he died, suffered, and then rose again. Let's think of some applications that we can make from this. Let's think about this verse. Think about what we've seen. First of all, let's realize the consequences of sin. What is death? The consequences of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. It's separation. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, he had to die and be separated from the Father. That's the consequences of sin. Every one of this room, we've sinned. And that's the consequences of sin. He came to this earth. Jesus came and went to the cross. Why? So he could die for sin, because that's the consequences. That's why he said he came to give his life as a ransom. That's why he came, that he would die on the cross to take our sins. The second thing, remember the consequences of sin. The second thing is realize the problem of sin, and that is that we've all sinned. That's the problem. The problem, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We're supposed to be separated. Unless something happens, unless God does something, you and each one of us, because we have sinned and we owe God death, and the wages of sin is death, we're going to be separated. But remember the solution to sin, and that is God's reconciliation plan, that God sent Jesus Christ to die in our place to pay for our sins. He became our substitute. That's the solution. Consequences are death. The problem is that we've all sinned, so we owe God death, but the solution is Jesus Christ and God sending his Son into the world so that through him we might have eternal life. This is the story of the Bible, that God sent his Son to bring us to God. The death and the resurrection. So that takes us to one final thing. Sin has consequences. It's death. We've all sinned. We owe God death. God has so loved us that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place on the cross and pay for our sins. Then what is our response to all of this? That is to be reconciled to God by faith. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, we are brought to God. We are reconciled to him. He died the just for the unjust. Why? So he could bring us to God. And everyone who believes, all of us who put our trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, we become children of God. We were dead, but now we're alive. We were separated. Now we're brought to God. I want to raise this question. Even though I know most everybody in this room, here's the question. First one is this. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior so you are reconciled to God? See, there's a lot of people who think that what you do to get to God, to get back to him somehow, because most people know that they've sinned and they owe God death and they've got to figure out a way to get to God. They think that if you just do things, if you join a church or you give money or you walk down an aisle or maybe you turn over a new leaf or over a period of time you say, I'm going to try to live a whole lot better. Sometimes people think that's the way to get to God. You can't do it. There's only one way to God, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to get to God. He is the one that reconciles us to the Father, and that comes simply by faith. If there's even one person in this room this morning who has never put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, my prayer and my invitation to you right now is that right where you're sitting, put your faith in Jesus. Believe he died for you. Trust him and him alone for your salvation. You don't have to walk down an aisle. You don't have to get up. You don't have to do things. You don't have to join a church. In fact, all those things mean absolutely nothing for salvation. It is faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone, and you have eternal life. For those of us who know Christ, and maybe that's, I hope that's every one of us in this room, we need to tell others. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech. We get the privilege to tell other people about how God reconciles people to Himself. May we be found faithful, especially at this time of year when people begin to think about Christmas and Jesus and God and all of those things. May we be faithful to tell them about the only way to God is through Jesus, who reconciles us to Himself, who reconciles us to the Father. May we be used by God to tell others of how God brings us to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for this passage. Thank You for this verse. And even though, Lord, it's one verse, there's just so much there. And Lord, as we look at this verse, we realize the consequences of sin, of course, is that is death, and that we've all sinned, that we owe death. And yet, in Your grace and in Your mercy, You have loved us so much that You sent Your Son to die for us. That Jesus Christ, the just one, came to die for the unjust so that He might bring us to You. Lord, I pray that every one of us in this room have already put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, that every one of us have eternal life, and that we've been brought into that perfect fellowship and relationship with our Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that each one of us will realize that we are ambassadors, that we are Your representatives, that we have the ministry of reconciliation. We get to tell other people about how You can bring them to Yourself through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray we'll be faithful to do that. Thank You for this church, Lord. Thank You for these believers. Thank You for giving us the privilege and responsibility of the ministry of reconciliation, telling others of how they can be brought back to You through Jesus Christ. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen.